Today is Tuesday, April 2nd. The title for our devotional is Spirit. As I'm saying that, I remember that that was the title of a show that my daughter watched a few years ago about a high-spirited horse, which actually serves our purposes quite well today, as it emphasizes how we use that term in many different ways. Yesterday, we took a broad overview of our campaign, and I encouraged you to embrace the mystery around the spiritual world, surrender to it, and wait for the wind to blow. That is, for the Spirit of God to move in power. Today, we're going to unpack the meaning of the biblical words for Spirit. But first, Jesus tells us that God is Spirit, and we must worship Him in spirit and in truth in John 4:24. So, understanding what Scripture says of the spiritual world and knowing what He means by Spirit is vital for our understanding of God Himself and our worship of Him. These are obviously important things in the Christian life. So, the two biblical words translated Spirit are Ruach in Hebrew and Pneuma in Greek. They carry a few foundational meanings. One is wind, an invisible, mysterious, powerful force. Two is breath or spirit, meaning that which gives life to the material of humans and animals. Three is divine power, situations where humans are supernaturally empowered to do amazing things. Okay, so the distinctions between these three shouldn't be pressed too far. It's easy to see how they are all connected. That is wind, breath, and divine power. At the heart of all three of those is an invisible power. On one of the podcasts that I recently listened to, the Bible Project guys, that is Tim Mackey and John Collins, they describe the biblical use of spirit as simply invisible energy. This agrees with the New Bible Dictionary's description of all ruach as manifestations of divine energy. In his book, The Spirit of the Disciplines, Dallas Willard describes the spiritual as, quote, an ordered realm of personal power founded in the God who is himself spirit and not a localized physical body, end quote. So the word carries many different senses and it changes over the course of time, as all words do, but these three are at the heart of the definition of spirit in the biblical sense. In the creation narrative, we see all of these concepts of spirit on full display. In this display of God's power in organizing the creation, we see the spirit, or wind perhaps, God's personal, powerful presence perhaps. In the early Jewish mind, they would likely be the same thing. So we see the spirit of God hovering over the water when the earth was without form and void in Genesis 1:2. God speaks, that is, he breathes out when he creates. After creating the raw materials of the human is not a living being until God, quote, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So, in this narrative, we see the concepts of wind, breath, and divine power on full display. Now, of course, meaning is added to the word over time as language and culture progress. That's normal. Every word changes and progresses in meaning with culture. The New Testament uses spirit also to refer to the aspect of the human person's inner life where the human relates to God in Acts 7:59 or Romans 1:9 or Romans 8:16. It obviously is used of God's personal power and presence in the Holy Spirit, instead of the Spirit of God being conceived of as only a presence or power. We see in the progressive revelation that the Spirit of God is the third person of the Trinity as well. Personal characteristics like grief are attributed to him, like in Ephesians 4:30. Jesus promises to send his people the Holy Spirit after he is taken up in John 14:26. It's also used of good spirits and evil spirits as angels and demons. This in view, I'm going to just end here today to give you some time to reflect on the concept of the word spirit in the biblical sense. Perhaps you've never tried to put words to your definition of spirit and simply relied on a fuzzy picture of it in your head. Merriam-Webster's 11th edition Collegiate Dictionary has 14 definitions for the word spirit. So it's understandable if your concept of the term is fuzzy. It's hard enough to understand all the ways we use it in English, let alone how the ancient Hebrews thought of it and the Greeks thought of it. So take some time today to reflect on this and gain some clarity before we proceed further, talking about the power of the spirit.